Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Derry Township Board of Supervisors, new community center planning update. In call to order, I will ask everyone to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Nagley, will you do the roll call?
Mr. Moyer, here.
Mr. Weir,
here.
Ms. Gordon,
here.
Ms. Rangel, here.
Mr. Foley, here.
Yeah.
I am here.
Yep.
And for the purpose of providing clear and accurate minutes, I ask all board members to ensure that they're speaking into the microphone, as we've had some requests for that to be more clear. At this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to our Director of Parks and Recreation, Matt Mandia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members, and I also want to thank each and every one of you for being here this evening, to taking time out of your busy summer schedule to spend a little time with us here this evening to hear an update on the planning and a lot of the hard work that's occurred over the last 2 years in planning a new community recreation center right here in Derry Township. I do recognize a lot of folks in the audience, but for those that I don't know, my name is Matt Mandia. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation, and it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you this evening. A brief side note, our community treasure, known to some as Cocoa Avenue Plaza, and to others the Hershey Recreation Center, will be 54 years old this year. The township acquired the facility from the Hershey Chocolate Company in 1979, and I've had the absolute honor to be the director of this community treasure for nearly 24 years out of the 38 years the township has owned and operated our facility. As such, I've seen firsthand the amazing recreational services this facility has offered and the amazing people that have offered them. More recently, I've also experienced the challenges of operating an aged facility and experiencing some of the challenges of seeing our community's recreational needs expand while our facility has remained constant. The planning process we've embarked upon has been and will continue to be extremely rewarding for me, knowing that we are collectively planning and charting the way for our community recreation to serve the residents of our community for the next 50 years and beyond. I do want to stress at the outset of our presentation that we're still working on the conceptual phase of this process. The conceptual step in this process is the very early stages. With that said, we've done a lot of work, but we are still in the initial stages of the process. Some of the programming elements that you'll be seeing this evening are still being evaluated, and certainly the financing piece of the equation still being evaluated aggressively as well. With all that said, we collectively felt that this was a good time to get back together with the community and give you an update on where we are in the process this evening. Our goal this evening is really twofold. First, to provide background and a status update of the planning process to date and how we've arrived at this point in the conceptual planning phase for the facility. And secondly, provide the community with yet another opportunity to be further engaged in this planning process. So let me explain the sequence of how we'd like to proceed this evening. I do want to remind the group that we do have a public Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for 7 p.m. this evening. We did get off to a little bit of a late start, but I think we're in pretty good shape to proceed expeditiously. We would like to complete our entire presentation, and then we will provide some time for board comment, and we want to make sure that we provide ample time for public comment and question and answers for you to be engaged in this process. At that point, we'll be asking public if you do have questions or want public comment that you would be coming up to this microphone here. One other item, housekeeping, this presentation is being filmed and recorded. both of which will be on the township's website for you to refer to at a future date. And please, if there's anyone that you know was not able to make it here this evening, please let them know that that resource will be available on the township's website as well. So with that, I'd like to begin by changing slides. There we go. I want to introduce our presenters this evening. First, on your far left, is Jim Bogret from Kimmel Bogret Architecture and Site. Jim has been our consultant guiding us through the conceptual phase of our planning process to date. Jim will provide an up-to-date review of the project's conceptual status. Jim, thanks so much. I know you came from Philadelphia, Conshohocken, right outside of Philadelphia today, so we appreciate you getting here this evening. Greg Kousis, introduced Greg from Capital Construction Management. We'll share some insights on his work evaluating various construction comparisons for the project. And on your far right, introduce Lou Verdelli from RBC Capital Markets, who will discuss some potential strategies of how a project such as this may be funded. Can everyone see the screen okay? Everybody okay? All right. So the presentation outline, I'll provide a brief history of our current facility, review some of the challenges of our current 54-year-old facility, also provide a snapshot of the planning process to date, review a current program and conceptual design by Jim. Greg will review the construction comparisons, and then Lou will do the funding strategies. As everyone fully is aware, we have a rich history in terms of leisure and recreation in our wonderful community, starting way back in 1932 at the community center uptown, and then later in 1963, the construction of our current facility at 605 Cocoa Avenue, and obviously still operating out of that current facility in 2017. The facility was dedicated in memory of Milton S. Hershey on October 20th, 1963. Just a little trivia, it was intended to be dedicated on his birthday on September 13th, but they ran into some mechanical issues, and the opening and dedication was delayed till October 20th. The facility began as a state-of-the-art structure with very innovative designs, including the retractable dome, which is still, and I put in quotes, somewhat operable, and I'll refer to that in just a little bit. The facility was sold for $1 to the township on September 13th, 1979. The township has owned and operated the facility since that time and has served as a hub of community recreation. It continues to serve our community recreation center today, but is significantly limited with no additional programming space added in 54 years, and certainly the demands for recreation in the community have changed. It is the home of the Hershey High swim team. It hosts community events and a multitude of ongoing aquatics and recreational programming throughout the year. It's obviously the site of our summer outdoor community recreation pool. It's situated adjacent to the Derry Township School District campus. And over the past 10, 12 years has really shown quite clearly the need for a more robust after-school and teen program in the afternoons, which we are continually trying to improve upon in our current facility, but can do much better. Both program and facility demands have far exceeded the current facility's ability to accommodate those demands, and our recreation, social, cultural, and aquatic needs cannot be fully met due to the lack of current indoor programming and aquatic space availability. Once again, the facility turns 54 years old this year and is showing its age in many areas of its infrastructure. So one of the areas, three areas that I really want to share this evening on some of the challenges that we run into really on a daily basis. And one is the limited indoor program space that we encounter on an ongoing basis at the Recreation Center. You can see this is our front desk here with our staff. We have telephones ringing. Most times we have folks either buying memberships or registering for programs at that desk. Most of the time kids running around in the lobby. 2 years ago, we purchased this partition here. And as a matter of fact, our Parks and Rec Advisory Board meets in this area. Our stakeholders committee that was formed for this project meets in this area. You can tell that that's not the most conducive situation. There's no barrier for sound. Another note is that this area represents about 615 square feet. In comparison to this room that we're in is about 1,800 square feet. So that is one of two main programming areas in our current recreation center, and it's about one-third of the size of this room, just for scale. Our other indoor programming area is the small gymnasium on the upper level of the recreation center. That area is one-quarter of the size of a full-size gymnasium, and that is our large programming area. That area is transformed into young children's programming, our martial arts programming, even hosts our after-graduation party for Hershey High graduates each year at the Recreation Center. So that space is transformed into a lot of useful uses, but once again, it is one-quarter the size of a gymnasium. The other area that we have significant challenges is our limited pool space. In addition to the age of both of the pool space over the 38 years that the township has operated the facility has become increasingly more difficult. The indoor pool is six lanes. It's operated 9 months of the year as our sole indoor aquatics facility. And 3 months of the year serves as our second outdoor facility. During the 9 months, this body of water is programmed full from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. We reached a point many years ago that we would need to eliminate existing programs in order to add other programs. And can't expand existing programs because there just isn't enough pool availability. The other issue is during peak use for practices, large programs, the pool is unavailable to the public often during peak programming times, which is a lot of time after school, early evenings, where folks might want to come for swim lessons, lap swimming after work, and those types of activities where the pool just isn't available at that time, once again due to the lack of water surface area. Another area that I want to touch on is accessibility challenges, and let me just go back once more. In terms of accessibility issues with our swimming pools, I want to be clear that we do and have always met all federal ADA regulations, and I want to make that clear. But newer designs and newer techniques make a much more seamless way for individuals with disabilities to enter and exit aquatic facilities and water. We certainly meet that, but you can see we have steps and we also have a battery-operated lift that individuals can use to get into the upper pool. We have a very similar lift run on battery in the lower pool as well. So some additional accessibility challenges within the facility. We have four distinct levels within the current recreation center. You have the lobby area, you have the locker room area, you have the upper pool deck area, and you have the lower pool deck area. So you can imagine the variation in levels and someone with disabilities getting in and out of that facility easily. Just very quickly, so someone comes in the lobby, they have to load, this platform comes up to the top, they load on here, they come down into the locker room area and get changed. They come out of the locker room. They go through between the locker rooms through our first aid area and come out this door here. They reload onto this platform and they're brought up to the indoor pool deck area. During the summer, if this individual wants to traverse to the lower pool, they need to traverse all the way around the indoor pool deck. They have to navigate a small ramp to get off the dome apron, which is about, I want to say, 8 inches high. And then they have to go to the far western section of the upper outdoor pool deck and go down a ramp and then load onto a lift similar to this in the lower deck. And then obviously to get back up to the lobby, they need to do that in reverse. Once again, the folks that use our facilities, including Special Olympics, they're versed in using our facility, but there are much more seamless ways to accommodate these folks, which we would hope would be a very important part of our new facility. Before I show you some of these pictures, and I have to go back and just credit our staff over the years. I'm proud to be able to stand here before all of you and say that we have not had any major significant mechanical shutdowns at our recreation center. I know I'm going to jinx myself. But we haven't had, thanks Jim, we haven't had any major mechanical shutdowns in the 24 years that I have been here, and that has nothing to do with me. It is absolutely my staff that does all that work. We are extremely diligent year to year during the budgeting process to identify and prioritize the areas such as these that we absolutely know need addressed. We've been doing that for years and years and years, and it took me about 15 minutes to find these pictures, so there's a lot still there. Once again, I don't want this to be come across as you're not maintaining the facility, because we really are, but these are the areas that the public really doesn't get to see, and they're in the back areas, that if these areas fail, we don't have a public facility for folks to use. So we have some other plumbing and draining issues. This is our indoor domestic storage tank that needs obviously to be replaced shortly. We have other actuators for our HVAC systems that are located in the boiler room next to all the chemicals, which obviously is extremely difficult on equipment. More plumbing on your right. This is our domestic hot water burner, which has to be replaced, if not next year, the following year. You can see this is our outdoor pool circulating pumps and or piping, which actually comes out of the filter room and before it leaves the building and heads down to the lower pool. You can see newer valves. You can see old original valves. You can see some pieces of newer piping connected to older piping. So it's just a continual ongoing challenge that we have at this aging facility. And obviously there's an end game to that challenge. Some more, I would say serious, but more concerning structural issues that we have. This is some significant spalling of concrete in our filter room ceiling. There's fairly large chunks of concrete falling out of the ceiling. There's exposed rebar. These are the pans that are underneath the drains around the circular part of the dome. You'll see the grates on the upper part of the dome there. On sunny days, you stand in the filter room, you can actually see daylight out through these areas, so they're very porous. On your right is the inside wall, standing about 12 foot deep area of the pool on the other side of this wall. This is in the filter room. You can see some calcification, you can see some leaching of chemicals coming through, which is obviously a symptom of some future issues as well. And our beloved dome. I have this weird thing with the dome. It's just been such an amazing structure for so many years. But it's sad when you open the doors and you look at some of the old hydraulics. This is one of four or six motors that actually drive the dome. I'm sad to say this evening that this is the first year that we were not able to completely open the dome, which drives me nuts coming down Cocoa Avenue because I want everything to be kind of exact. But you'll notice the western side is not as closed as the eastern side, or open, I'm sorry, as the eastern side. We tried everything over the years. We've had pickup trucks and chains. We wedged things under the wheels of the old dome to try to get it traction so that we can move it. Despite all of our efforts this year, we really did try. We weren't able to get it completely open, and hopefully we'll be able to get it closed for our upcoming fall. So, once again, I think it was important for you to see that. This is something that we deal with on a daily basis, and we take great pride in making sure that the facility is available for our community, but we've gotten to a point, actually 2010-11, where we really started talking about the need. We really got to start planning for the future. So in October of 2014, the board authorized us to get together a stakeholders committee involving a lot of community groups, including Derry Township School District, the Moeller Senior Center, our swimming community, the Hershey Medical Center, Milton Hershey School, and citizens at large. And we did just that, and we really assembled an amazing group of individuals representing many organizations within our community that not only we have existing amazing relationships with, but also as we discussed and talked and brainstormed the potential for a lot of future and partnerships in a new facility. For instance, the Derry Township School District, they're a natural partner. Obviously, the facility is located on their campus. We have an amazing relationship with the district right now, have been for years, in a mutual use of facilities. And with any given day after school, you come to the recreation center. Our recreation center is full of students who walk over from school each and every day. So we're dealing with the same kids. The Hershey High School swim team uses our facility as their home pool. We utilize the school district facilities for our before and after school child care programs, as well as our summer day camp program. So we have an amazing relationship, and it's just a natural fit and a natural partner that we continue to work on this project together. Our Moeller Senior Center, just another amazing partner over the past couple years in working together. Nothing says a true community recreation center like having your senior population as part of that. The potential for intergenerational programming, walking, swimming, low-impact exercise, socialization, and access to many health and wellness opportunities. We're also looking at the potential of incorporating the People Mover service into a very small area in our facility to really try to bring everything under one umbrella to make it a true community center. And of course, our aquatics community, yet another natural partner. We have been their home for many, many years, but really looking at a holistic view, not just competitive swimming, but all of aquatics within the community. We brainstorm current and future projected usage, including recreational swimming, non-competitive exercise lap swimming, diving, synchronized swimming, Special Olympics, competitive swimming, learn to swim lessons, lifeguard training, water instruction, water aerobics, water Zumba, yoga, and Pilates, scuba, snorkeling classes, kayak, canoe classes, water volleyball, water polo, and the list just goes on and on and on. The potential for expanded programming is immense, and we just can't accommodate it in our current with our current water surface area. We also have had several other extremely valued, important community partners, including Penn State Hershey Medical Center, the Milton Hershey School, and many citizens at large that have all given of their time, experience, and knowledge throughout the process. And we look forward to continuing our current partnerships as well as future partnerships with those organizations. So our stakeholders group met for several months and really came up with a roadmap of how we wanted to proceed in this process. And we had some extremely talented people in the room, and we still do. We got to a point and approached the board, and they agreed that it was time to bring in consulting help in terms of really starting to form a feasibility study to look at this project in a more holistic view. So in 2015, the township engaged Ballard King Associates to do phase one feasibility study, which included a market analysis, which determined that our community would be able to support a community center such as this. They evaluated demographics, primary and secondary service areas, household incomes, recreation spending potential indexes, and a whole host of other data that they put into their analysis to come up with that conclusion. We also had two very intriguing listening sessions at the recreation center. They were held back in November of 2015. And we had a lot of input. We had boards that we placed at the front of the lobby, and the community was able to write on post-it notes needs, suggestions, wants, and areas that they felt were imperative to include within a new community center. So I'm not going to go through all these, but this was the first Wednesday, November 5th of 2015. The boards were labeled aquatics, multi-purpose programming space, running and walking, seniors, childcare, gymnasium, and all those boards were at the front of the room. And a few of the boards we had to take post-its off because there wasn't enough room. So the suggestions and the ideas that just kept coming from this were tremendous. And on the 19th of November, very similar type of a list with some differing ideas as well. And so Ken Ballard was able to put all this into his analysis, including the market analysis, taking into account all the public input that we received from the forums, and created a preliminary program for the facility. And they were basically divided into very similar to what the boards that we had up in the front of the lobby: aquatics, active use, which included the gymnasium, some fitness components, running track, senior community space, passive use spaces, and the list of those are underneath there. So Ken Ballard, in once again a very preliminary fashion, gathering all that information from the community, came up with a square footage of about 105,000 square feet, which is a fairly large building. Through the continuing work of our stakeholders group and the leadership of Kimmel Bogret through Jim, we continued to meet after we received this report. And I believe the program that Jim's going to be presenting tonight is about 86,000 square feet. So we've knocked about a quarter off of what the original program was in terms of trying to most effectively and efficiently put all of the components that we felt the community was asking for, but make it as an efficient design as possible. And Jim, once again, in his leadership, was tremendous in that process. And once again, I do stress, we are still at the very beginning of this. Some of these program elements we're still talking about. So what you're going to see this evening isn't necessarily what the final product's going to be, but once again, felt this was the time to let you know and show you the work that we've done. So you'll all be happy. This is my last slide. In 2016, once again, we engaged Jim and his team from Kimmel Bogret, and he began to work on that conceptual design for us. More recently, at the last public Board of Supervisors meeting on June 13th, the board authorized Ballard King Associates to conduct an operations analysis. So this operations analysis looks at various options and combinations of program elements to identify both operational revenue and expenditure projections for the current program and a couple options off of the current program. This report is anticipated to be completed by the end of July or beginning of August. Once that report is completed, the program elements will need to be decided. And at that point, the conceptual phase will be concluded. And I'm sure there's going to be additional public forums such as this that we can take another peek at where we are at that time. So with that, I will turn it over to Jim. And Jim, if you'd be so kind to share where we currently are on the concept.
Matt, while Jim's coming up, just an invitation to the people who are standing in the hall and on the sides. There's plenty of seats up here, so feel free to move in so you can see the screens better.
Okay, good evening. As Matt had mentioned, what we were charged with was to really take the baton from Ken Ballard and Ballard King and take everything that was good out of that process and review it and challenge it and scrub it a little bit more and really talk about it and have the opportunity to look through it through a lens from other facilities that we have designed for other communities and make recommendations while also being open to a lot of conversation with the stakeholders. So the first thing that we did, and you hear this word programming, and we too have a lot of, I don't expect you to read any of this, but the purpose of this is, I just wanted to point out that when we first began this, again, we, in a very similar organizational structure that Ken did, we also broke our program down to the same components of aquatics and seniors and passive and active uses as well, so that anyone who could take our document could really look at Ken's document and read one and read both and understand that they come from the same breath. And as we went through this, we kept adding a few more columns because what we wanted to do was to track what we originally thought or what Ken Ballard had originally thought, and then the kind of program that we thought we wanted to have after some initial stakeholders meetings. And then subsequent stakeholder meetings, we were challenging our own selves here and looking at, do we really need that? Is that really what we want? Is this really what we mean? And added yet another column so everyone could track the changes and as we issue each subsequent program. So we did it, and I'll just go through this, and what we did as well is start adding a little bit more information about not only the adjacencies of, like, say, the gymnasium, what's critical about where that gymnasium is located in the building, in this case it's the lobby, but give a little bit of a blurb description here about what is it about the gymnasium that's special, that makes it unique, that we should be mindful of when we begin to talk and design this ultimately. So this is really a story about the building, and it's intended to be able to be read through in a narrative type fashion so that when you read it, you have a sense of the building. So it's a number of pages, just like Ken's. Here's the passive areas. The yellow actually means something that we got to the very end. We wanted to highlight certain specific sections where we were able to find efficiencies that Matt mentioned. During the design process, we were able to find some ways to boil out some area that we didn't think was possible when we programmed it, but when we started designing, we were able to realize it, which is good. And of course, the outdoor area. So when we did this narrative, we ended up with just under 100,000, 97,407 square feet. And that obviously compares to the 105 that Ken did. So already we're, I think, heading in the right direction while still not sacrificing the programming that Ken said was absolute and essential. So from here, I have a summary here of really the whole breakdown in more of a table form of the whole building, and you see that same 97,000. So only at this point were we really able to sort of, okay, everyone's in agreement, this is the program, this is about the size that we need, this is where we should go. Okay, now it's time to put pen to paper and get into some fun things, which is the design, right? So what we did in order to find a design directive for the building, but a way to organize the building, we actually looked at the formation of the town of Hershey. And we found this aerial from 1937, and it's actually pretty interesting. But here's Chalkwood Avenue, here's 322, and I think I have another slide here that starts outlining some of these sort of axial relationships. And from what we know is these crossroads create places of interchange, obviously, but places to meet. So we took these ideas ultimately and patterned our building after it. So when you look at the town and how other things sort of sprout around these axes, it gives opportunity for things to sort of hitch on to this to both east-west and north-south kind of roads. And of course, this is the it wasn't here then, but that's the area that our community center is located. So what we did is, and you're looking at a satellite image underneath, but we superimposed what ultimately became the block diagram for the building, and looking at ways of entrance and Cocoa Avenue, the parking, the tennis courts, the outdoor pool here, locker rooms, and you can see how we patterned that axial movement through and in and out of the site. We also went through a fair amount of design iterations, and we just wanted to, again, we're not asking you to read and understand every one of these diagrams, but the point is that you see that we went from here to here, and we weren't just satisfied with the first generation, and certainly where we are, we're not satisfied with. We know it's going to change. We know it's going to be better, and that's a good thing. So here's a site aerial view of the current facility. Here's our indoor-outdoor pool with the retractable dome and the outdoor pool and pool deck area and a substantial amount of parking, which obviously is something we want to maintain and work with. Obviously, everything wants to be, you know, as efficient. We don't want to create a situation where we're changing parking for parking's sake. We actually did look at an option very early on to say, well, what if we did? Can we get a better building if we move the parking? And the answer was no. And it's a good thing because this parking works well. I think all these points of entrance and egress work out really well. So really, you know, we're looking at this entire area here as a land of opportunity, if you will. So what we have here, obviously the brand new Cocoa Castle is something that we're not going to change. The parking lot, we're not going to change. Tennis courts, it was deemed, you know, even though we had looked at different options on the site, we came back full circle to recommend that this is, in fact, the best place when you consider that other things have to happen on the site. We have the, what you see in orange here is the indoor community center, but outboard of the building proper that you see here, as I said, the Cocoa Castle, the War Memorial, outdoor gardens, entry outdoor gardens, and what we call our outdoor greens. If you think about the village green idea, the place of community, the place to have space to set up tents for festivals and activities, we try to surround our building with several of these. So along Cocoa Avenue, and between the parking and the outdoor pool. And you'll notice a new element here, which doesn't exist currently, which is a service access point. And right now, everything comes through here. And everything has come through here, and this is just a big mix of trucks and people and kids and bikes and strollers. And so I think it became quite evident really, you know, soon that we needed to pull this element out away from all this, so now there's no more conflict of trucks and people and strollers and bikes and things like that. So, you know, this will be the receiving area, and this will be carefully coordinated with vendors so that it doesn't impose problems for the community. So now we're getting sort of the roof off the building and looking at a plan diagram, and I have a next slide after this. We'll zoom in so I can get into this and talk a little bit about it. Some of these things you'll see are going to be familiar from the site diagram that I showed you, less the tennis courts that were up here, less the bulk of the parking. But the next level in that you can start seeing some of the ways in and out of this building. So that service area here would be, you know, a half a level down from Cocoa Castle. You know, this area, you know, this land falls from the top of the screen to the bottom. So all this area would be, you know, one level. This would be the next level up, and then this would be the final level up. So the building, very similarly to the way the current building steps down, our building's going to do the same thing, but, you know, obviously we'll be a better version of it and much more user-friendly in terms of accessibility. So I wanted to zoom in one more time, and I tried to get this as large as we possibly could while still showing all the parts here. Just actually back up one. So the parking, I'll actually back up one more. The parking we looked at has this total mass of cars, and when we looked at this, we wanted to make sure that our entrance, which is right at this location, was fairly equidistant from the furthest car parked at this location to the furthest car parked at this location. So anyone parking would be, this would pretty much be about the midpoint. of all the parking, so everyone doesn't have to walk much further than folks here or folks here. And once that's set up, if you remember that axis, that diagram I was talking about, the idea that you come in and you have that reception, you have that point of control right here, back in the middle of the building, that, you know, this, if you look at those crossroads, the one crossroad comes all the way through, and that would get you out to Cocoa Castle, and the other one is an internal crossroads, but that gets you back to more of the community functions. So, you know, this purple area is designating the community multipurpose room. But I want to take a step back to the lobby and tell you a little bit more about what happens when you arrive. So when you arrive at this location, not only do you have that control desk that I was talking about, the area that you see in light powder blue here is the senior center. And we put this on this side of the building, which faces east and northeast. Currently, the Moeller Center has a nice outdoor space, but it faces west, southwest. And if you're ever there in any time like today, it's pretty much you're getting blind and heated and cooked, if you will. So the outdoor garden right next to this, not only is it right next to the entrance, and we provided some additional parking along the front here, but there's an outdoor space that is going to be truly usable and certainly a lot more welcoming. So it has all the programmatic elements that the seniors currently benefit from, with the classrooms and kitchen, and with access to the multi-purpose room, and some additional support of some restrooms that solely for the seniors to use. To the left, when you would come in, you would see all the aquatics. So we're imagining that you would have some glass wall here so that you would come in and you would see and look down. This is, again, the middle level, and it steps down, and it steps down the third time. So, and then at the crossroads of where you come in here and here, we've developed on two levels, and you'll see this on a second floor plan, what we call the community living room. And we've incorporated in the community living room one of the features mentioned in the Ballard King study about in our stakeholders meetings was about the fireplace. So we have this idea of the hearth and the fireplace and welcoming and community meeting, and provide that same kind of opportunity for if you're signed up for a class or you're waiting for a friend, that you could sit here. We're imagining this being literally like soft furniture and things like that. Certainly at this level, upstairs in the wellness and health wellness area, we probably have slightly different furniture, considering that you might be sweaty after a class. We want to make sure we have the appropriate furniture. So the dark olive that you see here is the gymnasium, and again, we see connectivity. So this is really kind of a hub and spoke kind of idea, where this is the hub of the activity of the community. But from here, you can almost kind of get anywhere fairly quickly, so you don't have to traverse the building. And that's really where we found some efficiencies in the design to save on some circulation area that we thought we had to build. So what you see here in orange on this location, on this outside corner, you have the back end of the service here, but also locker rooms and lifeguard party rooms, first aid, and you'll see a lot of these small little diagrams here, but these are a lot of little family, personal changing rooms, if you will. So we found and we've seen that the big, YMCA style of yesteryear, the locker rooms, where everybody, is one size, one big room for everybody, isn't really the mindset here. We're looking at privacy and the ability for folks to feel like almost like they're at home and have the ability to change and go swimming and come right out into the pool deck. So near the end here, near Cocoa Castle, we have a child watch area and a play area, which if you can imagine, this is sort of like a children's sized gymnasium. We were actually able to add this during design where we found the square footage. So even though that savings of square footage is still there, even adding this, we were able to still be better than what we were. And that gives, I think it's the right thing to do. Keeps the littlest kids safe. and out of, you know, where teenagers and older kids and adults would be in the gymnasium here. And this would be dividable as well. There's in this corner, just to take you through the rest of the building, back here you have some vending and some public restrooms. And all this is the administrative suite, so all the offices for the rec center and the seniors are commingled. So right now you have two separate offices. So now we're able to find yet again more efficiency. So conference rooms, copiers, kitchenettes, bathrooms, all that stuff is going to be able to sort of, you don't have to build twice. And that was one of the ways we were able to save some square footage, which you'll hear from Greg is important because, as we all know, you just start doing the math in this building, it's going to, you know, grow and grow and grow. So as you go up towards the tennis court area, you have a game room and, you know, more activity, so billiards, ping pong, video games, all that stuff would be in here. And then along the back side here, we have the multi-purpose room that I mentioned about that get broken down into three different rooms that you have here. Each one's about 800 square feet, so a little bigger than the current lobby, each one. So imagine the lobby three times. So upstairs, I'm going to go right to the next, to the larger one, because this one is fairly easier to see. This whole level is about wellness and flexibility in the programming. The long list of the wishes and wants and desires that the Ballard King study had identified. You know, we have everything in this sort of olive color, the ability to have whatever kind of programming you want. And what you see along here, here's that upper community living room that I spoke of, where the fireplace, again, the bathroom. So you have the bathroom stacked here, the elevator, not a lift, not a lift on the stair. And that, you know, we're imagining that when you walked in, that this area here would be open to above. So when you're upstairs, that's looking down into the lobby. And when you're standing here, you can look down to the lobby below, as well as looking down into the gym. And then we're imagining, you know, this being the experience of a walking track in the building. And you'd be able to sort of kind of see the activity of the building instead of what you most often see are tracks that are internal and limited to the inside of a gymnasium. We thought it would be interesting and more dynamic to have this walking element to kind of take you through the building and change the scene and kind of be able to look down and look through and look down to the pool and look out the windows and kind of come down and have a little bit more variety along the way. Some areas that are sort of off that walking track are these kind of stretch cardio areas we kind of identified. So if you were here and you wanted to warm up, you have these abilities to sort of come off and pause if you needed to. So you have multiple spaces for those. We have an internal opportunity for, you know, a room here, whether that could be yoga or, you know, some kind of other, you know, the Red Cross could come in and do something, although that might be downstairs. Another multi-purpose room here as well. So that's really an overview of kind of how the building is stacked and organized and what are the kind of, you know, parts that in the building and how they're related. You know, we see this as a, for the most part, it's going to be essentially a two-plus story looking building from the outside. We put a lot of those two-story volumes, you know, around the perimeter. So here is it going to be a volume. Here, this is going to be a volume. And then here, we have a two-story building, but it's also it's going to fit within all those buildings. So essentially, we surrounded this two-story building with larger one-story buildings so that our building looks cohesive in the end. So that's the strategy that we have to date on this. And certainly there's a lot more to do, like Matt had indicated. And of course, you're all curious to know what Greg has to say, so I'll bring Greg up to the podium next to talk about construction comparisons.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Just a fun fact, Jim is a Hershey boy and grew up in that rec center. So before Greg starts, there are a lot of folks who just came in. There are at least a dozen seats up here. Please come in so you don't have to stand. There's also some seats in the front and on the side. So please come in and just climb over a few people so you can see a little bit better. Yeah, you can walk around the front too.
Bunch of seats over right in here, right up in the midst. You guys want to see the screen?
Okay, thank you. My name is Greg Kousas. I'm with Capital Construction Management, as Matt and Jim had said. We were engaged to help with some of the budgeting and costing on the project. So Matt's done a nice job of presenting what the facility looks like. I think Jim has done a good job of presenting the vision for what the project might be. And what we'd like to do is spend a few minutes and talk about the cost of the project. So there are four separate slides that I'm going to speak to, only four, and in the interest of time, I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. We were asked to look at three different cost scenarios relative to the project. The first one that I have up on the screen right now is a cost scenario for the project as it was designed and presented in Jim's slides. So as you can see right here, square footage total, as Matt had mentioned, we're at about 86,000 square feet currently in the building design, the way it's been laid out with programming. There's a number of different components that go into that. These really marry up to the programming areas that Jim had talked about in the presentation, the different square footages, the cost per square foot, and the estimates are derived by looking at those different areas, the components that are in those areas, the requirements to build them, and the total cost for the new construction at this point is $25,660,000. I'm going to round that down to $25 million. It is very conceptual at this stage. We've done a fairly detailed estimate based on the conceptual drawings, but there are, as Matt said and as Jim has pointed out, this is early in the process. So for the purposes of what we're doing in terms of the budget, we feel like it is a $25 million project at this point. That's a reasonable assumption to make. There's one footnote at the bottom here. We were asked to take a look at what the building or what the cost might be if the indoor portion of the competitive pool was expanded from a 25-meter pool to a 50-meter pool. And that $3.8 million is the incremental cost to the building if that was the decision that was made going forward. So that is the new construction portion of the building. And I'd like to make a note that part of Kimmel Gregretz, Jim's firm's responsibility during the conceptual design phase here, was to get an independent third-party estimate as well. That estimate came back and it was within $2 per square foot of this estimate. So effectively it was the same cost for the building construction, which was affirmation that, again, we're, I think, in the right place in terms of a budget at this stage of construction, or at this stage of the design. The second scenario that we were asked to look at was, okay, what happens if the existing facility is left intact, renovated, and new construction is added to essentially equal the programmed area that you would have with a totally new building. So, again, we're 86,000 square feet total program area, and the green areas represent renovation to the existing building. The other line items are related to new construction to get us up to that 86,000 square feet. I think the telling portion of this is that renovating the existing structure and adding new structure to equal the same program space as building it all new is probably not a good alternative to look at, because the cost is higher than building an entirely new facility. And just conceptually, I think most people can relate to the fact that if you have a smaller structure that's roughly 32,000 square feet and you're trying to add 54,000 square feet around it and tie it all together, you know, there's some inherent inefficiencies in doing that and making that whole space function. So the third estimate that we put together was looking at the scenario of not renovating the existing facility only. So the existing facility is roughly 32,000 square feet, and so we looked at an estimate that would renovate that space and bring it up to what would be considered current codes and what would look like a new facility. It's a $11 million price tag to do that roughly. The cost per square foot is the highest between the three scenarios. There are, as Jim pointed out, or as Matt pointed out, many challenges with that existing building, structurally, mechanically, programmatically, ADA issues. So it's an expensive building to renovate. The systems in the building are essentially, with the exception of maybe one or two pumps, completely at the end of their useful life, or well beyond their useful life. So that's a complete gut and retrofit. There are some structural issues, and it would be a significant renovation cost to do that. So those are the three scenarios. In terms of pricing, I want to point out that these are capital project costs only. As Matt said earlier, there's an operational cost analysis that's being done right now. These three scenarios do not take into account the operational cost analysis. They are capital project costs. There are construction costs as well as soft costs for each of these. So the intent is that these down totals are a grand total for the complete capital project costs. The last slide, very quickly, is schedule. I just want to talk about the overall process and the overall timeline that we're looking at for this project. The preliminary design is ongoing. As you can see, stakeholders meetings have been ongoing. The Board of Supervisors presentation, which is tonight. There's a number of other intermediary steps that need to happen before this project gets to the point where the township and the Board of Supervisors needs to make a decision as to whether or not this is a go, no go. In terms of construction, the plan at this point is for a spring of 2019 construction start. It's roughly a 14-month project if it is a new build-out, which would turn the building back over to the community in May of 2020. So between where we are today and February of 2019, as Matt had said, we're anticipating that there's a number of other points in time where the project team will come back, present information to the community, to the Board of Supervisors relative to cost, relative to schedule, and looking for opportunities for people to engage and provide feedback. That's all I have. I'm going to turn it over to Lou Verdelli.
Thanks, Greg. I'll be short, since, as you heard, the construction is not scheduled to start for some time, so we really haven't formulated any specific financing plans. But what we wanted to do is just give you a general sense of how a project of this magnitude is financed among municipalities, here in Pennsylvania. Typically, it's a combination of sources of funds. Usually, the issuer will go out and look for state grant funding or local grant funding. Typically, there's capital campaigns held among the stakeholders of the project and among the community. And then usually the last piece is sized with traditional financing. That may be bond financing or banknote financing. So those are the typical sources that would come together. Obviously, we need to know the scope of the project and project costs before it gets to my job of helping to put the final financing together. The other thing to keep in mind is what Greg just mentioned is really a project like this, when we think about the impact on the township's budget, there's really two pieces. It's the borrowing that's going to provide the money for the construction that's going to increase the debt service that the township has to pay. So that's the first piece of the impact. And as he mentioned, then the operating impact of the additional utilities and staff for the program that's being designed. So you really have two budget impacts. It's, again, obviously too early to pinpoint what they would be at this point in time, but we do have some construction cost estimates. And once we would get further along, we would then be looking at the township's existing debt. Right now, the township's final debt pays off in the year 2030. We've worked very hard to maintain the township's good credit rating, which is a double A from Standard & Poor's with a stable outlook. So as we design the financing, we would be mindful of trying to keep the budgetary impact somewhat in line with what's already in the budget, probably, you know, to accommodate this type of borrowing with what's in the budget for debt service right now, probably would be a pretty big hurdle. But those are the things that we would be working towards solving for once we actually have a project and a project cost, and that's how the financing would come together. So again, there's no financing in place for the project. We obviously keep track of where interest rates are. We've run some projections at today's interest rates and at future interest rates to see what that debt service impact might be. But again, it's really too early to finalize anything on the financing.
Thank you, Lou. I guess at this time we'll turn it back over to the board as we follow the agenda there for any board comments, and then certainly open it up to the public for public comment. And once again, just to remind you, if you do have comments or questions, please come to this microphone here, and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Matt. Next, I'm going to open the floor to the members of the board if they have any questions or comments. With you, Mr. Moore.
Mr. Foley, thank you. Greg, Jim, and Matt had all mentioned the anticipated programming with the aquatics that is potentially available. And despite all that discussion, there was no comment or discussion about the aquatics during Mr. Grogret's presentation in terms of describing the aquatics. And I was just curious as to, since it is such a major part of the project, why that wasn't part of your discussion tonight.
I apologize, that was not by design.
The indoor pool area would be comprised of a leisure pool, which would have swim lanes in it, as well as an area for emerging swimmers with a zero entry pool, as well as a play area with splash elements inside. But that would be a warm water environment for all ages, for therapy, for exercise, for skill level and developing swimmers. Adjacent to that, in a separate area, also indoors, is the competition pool, which if you saw the plan, it had 10 lanes as opposed to the 6 that you currently have. Would have a diving, a 1 meter diving board. And adjacent to that is more viewing spectator areas on two sides. So as you look to the large square that you see the pool, this is the 10 lanes in this direction with a spectator area here and as well as here. And this is that leisure pool that I was speaking of. And here's where you would have the swimming laps. And then over here would be more you know, single depth kind of pool. And over here would be, this would be the zero entry pool area here closest to the family lockers. And then this would be the other, the sort of single depth. Outside, as I mentioned, this is really a line where the building, where the grade steps down. And what you have are an outdoor leisure pool, a toddler pool, if you will, with a zero entry along here, with the pool concessions and storage control point for summer months when people arrive. They would be sort of checked in here, so you have to go through the building. And then along this whole edge, we're not proposing that you have what you currently have today, but you would have a series of openings that would be, if you look back at that wall, several of those openings, imagine that whole wall opening up to the outside. So we would have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those openings to make that feel kind of like the way it does today, about having that flexibility to use the indoor leisure pool throughout the year, but in the summer, really combine all that water for leisure activity.
Thank you very much. It's a great explanation. And I was remiss in saying that I think it's difficult to overstate the amount of hard work and dedication that has been put into this by everyone. Matt, Zach, the Parks and Rec stakeholders, Ballard King, Kimmel, Bougret, those members who have dedicated an incredible amount of time and effort on this. It's just a remarkable undertaking and a great deal, and it reflects in the work product here. I would say that my only other comments are that I think it's important that once we figure out the net operating cost to build, factoring in those outside resources, the net operating cost to operate this building, and how, as Mr. Verdelli said, that's going to impact not only our capital budget, but our general fund our capital fund, once that information is obtained, that I do feel very strongly about the need for public input as we massage the features of this project, especially on a project of this magnitude, to the extent hopefully it would benefit from the use and enjoyment of so many of our residents. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Weir. Mr. Weir.
Yes, I guess I speak for all the supervisors. We're looking for direction here, and there's several things I think we have to consider. It's a great town to live in, we know that. And we've enjoyed a lot of recreational things in this community free. This building we have was given to us by the Hershey Company. We used to have free police in 1974. We used to have free school buildings built for us. Those days have passed, and now I think we have to consider if we want to maintain this standard of living, and I want to know how much the people in town are willing to pay for it, what it's going to cost. I wish you all could take a tour. I think all the supervisors did walk through that, see the leaking pipes and spalling concrete and sagging floors, and help. We have to make a decision here, and we have to do it soon. So, again, I commend all the members of the board and the stakeholders for doing an excellent job of bringing the information I think we as a community need to make an informed decision.
Thank you. I think the only, in the essence of time, I simply would just reiterate some of the comments that my colleagues have made. And it really is an important project. It's been a long time in coming. It's been a very long process. We've got a number of constituents and stakeholders that have been involved in this. And I tip my hat to my board colleagues who have helped organize the stakeholder committee and those key people involved in bringing this all together. It is a remarkable undertaking, and it is significant. So with that, I'll pass it off to the court.
I could talk about this for hours, but since it's quarter of, I just want to say thank you to everyone for coming tonight. Thanks especially to the stakeholders who've been working on this with such passion and heart for 3 years. We've got a long way to go, but there's definitely quite a testament to the support for this project just in the turnout in this room. look around. There's some who's probably, what, 5 or 6 years old. We've got people 85 years old and everything in between. This is our community. And 2 years old in the back. That's what this center is for. It's for our entire community. And I know this is a lot to digest. If this is the first time you're seeing and hearing this, this is a lot to process. But I would argue that the people back in 1963 had this same kind of thing to work through. And it's something they did for their community then that lasted all these 53 years. And I think this is an important time in our community for us to make a decision, not just for us, but for the next generations for decades to come. So I just want to say thank you, and please stay with us. This is not, as Mark mentioned, this is not the last time that we're going to pull the public in. We want to make sure, just as the public's been a part of this process for 3 years, that you will continue to be a part of the process so that your feedback is taken into consideration. Because everything you see up on the screen here is because of feedback gotten from the community. So to me, this is a very exciting project because it's been so collaborative, so thoughtful, and so strategic. One other quick point I wanted to mention, as we look at that operational analysis to look at the cost to operate, that also is going to include potential revenue from the facility. So we don't want to forget about that as we're looking at, you know, what this is going to cost, not just to build but to operate, that there is a plus side to this as well, potentially. So as we evaluate that moving forward, we'll have more information and a more clear picture, not just the snapshot today, but as we move forward, so that everyone is up to date on that.
That's a great point. I just echo those comments. Thanks, everyone, for coming tonight. And great job. The team did a wonderful, remarkable job putting this together. But just to go one step further with that operational analysis, this is conceptual at this point, right? And it's our understanding, it's my understanding, that that operational analysis could change the direction of what we see on the screen right now. Correct? Okay. All right, so it's not set in stone. And with that, I'll end my comments and look forward to hearing from the public.
Okay, so here are the ground rules for the public. We've got 10 minutes. We do have a board meeting at 7. So what I'm going to ask, state your name, address, limit your comments to 2 minutes or less. And we're going to take a break at 7. We're going to need about 5 minutes to reconfigure the room, and then we will resume with our regularly scheduled board meeting. The mic is open.
Howard Naylor, 8 Cambridge Drive, Hershey. I have a question for the board or anyone. What is our current population in Derry Township?
Roughly 25,000.
Okay. And what is the number of people that are served? Not on a, I come in 6 times a week, but how many people does the community center serve, or does it anticipate it will serve?
So last, in 2016, and I guess it goes back to your region visits, but we had 42,000 visits to the Recreation Center last year, and that does include some region visits, obviously. We have just over 3,000 members of the community center. One thing when I say that, we also have to look at, we have a small 6-lane pool and a quarter of a gymnasium, so right now, in terms of the draw, and folks feeling as though there's a lot of opportunity there, certainly a facility like this, I would anticipate the participation rates will go up exponentially just because of the broad range of opportunities available. So I hate to compare the current facility use to what it potentially could be in the new facility, but to answer your question, that's the numbers right now.
One other very quick one. How many entities should we be expected to serve as the taxpayers of Derry Township? Everybody's mentioned the entities, the stakeholders. How many should we serve through this facility as opposed to a private gym, et cetera, et cetera?
I think the whole purpose of putting the team together was to serve as many stakeholders in our community as possible. We have gone through this process to very awarely not exclude anybody. So to answer your question, I think we have tried to put a program together. Once again, we're living in a conceptual stage, but we're trying to put together a program that really serves all stakeholders in the community. That's that's why we drew everybody in, and that's why we're doing this here this evening, to segments that we're missing that have to be different. So we're here to serve everyone. We're trying to create a true community reserve.
Thank you. Next up, just go right up to the microphone. If you guys want to, people want to line up, if you will.
Ann Barnhart-Mazur, I live at 843 Talicona Drive, Hershey. I'm noticing this is mainly an aquatic center. I'm currently a pickleball player, and it is the fastest growing sport in America. They expect it to eventually be an Olympic sport. I'm not seeing anything to take care of us on the seniors on this chart. And sharing pickleball courts and basketball courts doesn't work really well. We play now, we have people waiting to play, we don't have enough courts. I'm not seeing an indoor court, I'm not seeing an outdoor court. And there's more than 60 people currently in the Hershey pickleball group. And it is a growing sport. It's in some of the high schools, it's in some of the colleges. And I think we're going to see a lot more people playing. So if you go to like the Friendship Center, or you go to the Lititz Recreation Center, they have lots of indoor pickleball courts. They just held a big pickleball tournament in Lititz. I talked to a man down there. They have 4 indoor courts in one section, and they have 20 people at a time waiting to play. I'm not a swimmer, but I do like to play pickleball. Thank you.
Just very quickly, we have pickleball covered.
In here? I don't see it.
We actually, as you know, we did line 2 outdoor tennis courts for pickleball.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to be lining another at Gallard Park, just so you know. But we do fully anticipate to have multi-sport lines on these. So it would be a scheduling type of a situation, which we do now at the Recreation Center. The pickleball club plays in our indoor gymnasium in the wintertime, and then uses both the indoor and outdoor during the summer. So we anticipate fully being able to accommodate the pickleball.
We do appreciate that you did line off those 2 practice courts, but we've been over a couple times in the evening, and there's always teenagers playing basketball, which I encourage also. But and I look over at 4 tennis courts, and most of the time they're empty. So it would be nice if we could have. It would be nice if I saw a separate outdoor basketball court for the kids too, which I don't see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie Neal, 820 Zermatt Drive. Hi. I was wondering, as we start to talk about not only the cost of operation, the cost of construction, are we going to be looking at the increase that this might have as far as cost of passes for the pool, and also the rising cost to become a member of the Mueller Senior Center? Has that been looked into at all?
In terms of the operations analysis that the board just approved at the last public meeting, we sent that firm our current fee structure.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of memberships, our daily fee structures. They'll be working all that into this scenario. Certainly, with the brand new facility, some of those costs are probably going to be escalated. Certainly, lane fees to utilize pools are going to be elevated as well. In terms of the operations analysis, I'm hoping a lot of that, those types of questions will be answered in the operations analysis. And give us a general sense of where some of those fee increases might be. But to answer your question very honestly, we would be able to keep the same fee structure that we're operating our current small facility in.
And also for the child care, for the summer camps. I just want the public to be aware, because as we're asking the public, what they're willing to spend and pay. I want those programs and the public to know so that we can give that feedback.
Sure.
I would hate for our summer camps and such to be at a range where they can't afford it anymore.
No, that's a great point. And our child care programs view a little bit differently in terms of, as you know, we utilize schools. Facilities for the before and after school program throughout the school year. We also use the school district's facility for summer day camp. We hope that those relationships will continue,
right.
Which assists us in keeping those costs down. So I don't anticipate nearly as drastic of a significant of an increase in childcare areas.
And for our seniors, too. I would hate for our seniors to get excited about a new center and then discover they can't afford to come.
And I think we're all very aware of that.
Okay.
I can't speak for the senior center folks right now in terms of the fee structure, what it might be. But we do have tiered fee structures now. There's resident, non-resident, and seniors, obviously, and significant discount as well. So we would sort of keep that philosophy in place.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Stacy Price. I'm from 215 West Chocolate Avenue. I just wanted to say that this pool would be a big help towards Special Olympics. We have grown marvelous bigger through the years. We have 46 people on our team to 6 lanes of a pool. I don't really get my full, you know, endurance for swimming. We need a bigger pool that we can all have our own endurance to become faster and much brighter. And I've grown up in Hershey all my life, so the Plaza Pool is a very, very good sport for me to be by and do well in. So I just appreciate the pool to grow bigger so we can accomplish more in turn towards Special Olympics. Thank you.
Jack Bishop, 415 Lexington Court, Hershey. I'm the president of the Senior Center Board. We've been in negotiations, started with the supervisors. We will be an independent piece within this building. We will set our own fees. We have no intention of raising them. Unlike the school district, the township, we can apply for grants. We're a nonprofit organization. One of our board members has started to write the grants, and we will be applying for construction money, which these other organizations cannot. Thank you.
Kevin Ferguson, 1338 Quail Hollow Road. First of all, I just want to say I support Stacy's comments as to why she would like to see a new swimming facility. But I just want to point out, I love it. Cost, okay, let's separate the cost. But I like the design. The only thing I would like to point out is currently right now the facility has a 50-meter pool in it. And this design does not have a 50-meter pool. You did talk about the option of putting a 50-meter pool in it. And I think the competitive team would be losing a very important tool to train in if you didn't have a 50-meter pool. Summer swimming is all 50 meters. The Olympics is 50 meters. And to have a nationally recognized swimming program here in Hershey, to take that training tool away from them would be pretty detrimental because there'd be nowhere for them to practice in the summer. They'd be looking for a 50-meter pool. Just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt, do you want to mention how the operational analysis sort of takes that into account and looks at that? That's something that...
Sure. Really following the same format that we've been talking about this entire time. There's basically the base design, which is what we're looking at here. So the operations analysis will take this into consideration, this design right here. They're also going to be evaluating this design with the 50-meter pool. What does that mean in terms of expenditures? What does that mean in terms of potential revenue generation? And also, in addition to that, they're going to be looking at a more robust fitness component. And what does that mean in terms of expenditures, and what does that mean in terms of revenue generation as well? So it's really a three-tier kind of a study. So it's the base design, this design with the 50-meter, and this design with the more robust fitness component. So there are the three kind of menu data that we should be seeing here at the end of July or the beginning of August when that pool is completed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. We are going to keep the microphone open for another 8 or 10 minutes, so if you'd like to, there's a lot of people here, so we don't want to miss them. If you'd like to make comments, please step to the microphone. We'll try and keep it as open as we can and then cut it off at some point.
Richard Gamble, 39 Hartford Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I think it's a great idea. I think the concept, the needs are meeting a majority of the people. But one of my concerns I have, and Matt's brought up the membership, out of 25,000, we have 3,000 members. That's less than 12%. I think that in order to fund and membership, keeping costs down, is going to depend on the people that live here. And I would recommend seriously running a survey and see how many people would be really interested in backing and supporting this program, showing the benefit they receive. And, you know, what would be the reason they would or would not support going forward with this project. But I think that number 12%, you know, really doesn't do benefit to the majority of the community at this point. There's a reason, as Matt brought up, possibly the size, availability of activities, but then we're bringing in other, you know, like the Mueller Center. Okay, that's an entity into their own, but it's space. It's not a program that's going to benefit the majority. They already have a place and they got to get out, I understand. But working together, but I think the survey would give us better direction on which way we should be going. And do we want what's in this plan? You know, get this printed out, get it out there. Let people, you know, take a look. Do we need a community room with a fireplace? You know, that's all money. You know, I can sit in my room and look at my fireplace. I think we should focus on the whole concept of what the people in the community, who it's for, are going to benefit from. Thank you.
Mr. Campbell, that's a great question. And just as a point to kind of clarify, I think if you just focus on the number of current members, that really doesn't tell you the full story. I'm not a member, sorry, Matt, but I do go there frequently, and I'm sure many of you do as well. And I think, you know, to look and compare what we might have with another center, what membership and what attendance might grow to, would be a different story. And I would also offer that, for example, with the library, you know, I don't want to ask you to raise your hands to see if you go to the library or not, but that's part of our community. And as stewards of our community and as citizens of our community, it's our responsibility to make sure that we have these kind of amenities and services for everyone, whether you use them or not. So if you don't use the rec center, you don't use the library, maybe you pay school taxes and you don't send your kids to school, but it's all part of our responsibility as being citizens of this fantastic township. So just kind of keep that in mind. You know, you may not use it now, maybe you'd use it later, but it's our responsibility to provide this for everybody in our community.
Well, again, like I said, I would strongly urge that we get some type of a survey out there and get the feeling of the majority of the population, taxpayers, what they would like to see. I mean, that's a big, big number. And like I say, what we have presently, 12%, can we generate that to maybe 30% or even 40%? But what's there now, I think, is a reasonable cost for membership. But again, we're only getting 3,000 members. So I think that's something we need to take a look at. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Hamill.
Jack Storm, Hillview Lane, here in Hershey. Just a comment, I think it was brought up twice about the 3,000 members. We're bringing in the Mulder Center. That's another 700, I believe. So that just helps your 12% figure a little bit and bolsters it up to that group that's in there, again, for the whole community center. I think one of the things that's going to be very strategic in this whole thing is who in this area, who on the board, who in this township is smart enough to figure out how to fund the whole thing. How do we get the dollars? What kind of things are available for this community? And I think Susan said a great thing that we're going to generate income out of this too. If the people that are running these places are smart enough, this thing should work. But it's going to take a lot of work. And it's not just going to take five people up there. It's going to take a lot of people in this audience and a lot of people that aren't here tonight to help in this whole thing. I think it can be done, though. We're a smart community.
On Jack's note,
I wholeheartedly endorse what you're saying. And if anybody out there has great ideas on how we can fund this, let us know. Okay? I mean, we don't have a monopoly on all that. So.
No, I would ask that if you're interested and passionate in this, as I know you all are because you're here, let's do this in an organized, strategic fashion. We've already talked about how we might put together a capital campaign that the community could participate in. You know, what kind of grants might we be able to look at? And we have to look at this as a whole, and then we can kind of divide and conquer. So as much as you might want to go out and start raising money tonight, just relax for a little bit. And if you're interested, Matt, should people follow up with you if they want to participate in any way? Sorry to burden
you. Or would Lauren be a good person to touch base with as well from a community development standpoint?
Either that or through Matt. And then we have not yet gotten to the point, obviously, where we're raising money because we're not at that point in the project, but certainly if this is something that you're interested in being a part of, you know, we could use boots on the ground for sure. So maybe now either let Matt or Lauren or certainly one of us know, and we'll make sure that we put you to work.
I'm just talking about ideas. Yeah. You know, like I had a great conversation with somebody today that even suggested possibly naming rights.
Because that would be all part of the strategy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are the types of outside-the-box thinking that encourage people with good ideas to come up with and let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, in the essence of time, what I would like to see, so that you can share with the board, I'm going to ask for a show of hands of those who are in favor of this and those who are opposed. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but obviously we won't get to hear from each and every one of you. So those that would be in favor of this, if you please raise your hand. Thank you very much. Those who would be opposed, and again, this is at this juncture. It's very early on. Very good.
Really lovely letters of support. If you have questions, if you have comments you want to share moving forward, please feel free to share that with the board or with Matt, and we'll make sure we take all that in consideration.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to conclude this public meeting, and we're going to adjourn, and I'm going to ask in 5 minutes if we can reconvene for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting.
Oh, that's right. So, Spencer.
Well, pleasure to.
Yes, Jack.
Jack Storm.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
And where are you? Where are you?
I'm going to help you. I'm right here in the.
Oh, they brought the 30 minutes. I'm sorry.
I tried everything in. Right. They said they were going to leave it.
Brandon can get his stuff off there. How are you? Up there. Is this thumb drive yours, Brandon? Yes.
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member Mark Moyer.
Here.
And Chairman John Foley.
Here. Although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the Township to tape record all public meetings for the purposes of providing accurate minutes. At this time, we will open the microphone to visitor or public comment. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes or less and state your name and address.
Hi, my name is Calista Orley, and I'm 11 years old. I live at 906 Briar Crest Drive, Hershey, PA. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. 4 years ago, I was elated when I found out I had been given a spot on the Hershey Aquatic Club swim team. You see, I may have only been 7 years old, but I already knew that the water is where I felt most at home. Now, going into my 7th grade year at Hershey Middle School, the rec center has become my second home. Most people look at me and see a girl that can swim fast and get good grades. They don't see many of the health challenges I struggle with every day. I take 7 medications every single day to stay alive. This past year, I moved from practicing at the Vista School to the rec center. I was so excited to swim with the older kids and have the opportunity to push myself. Unfortunately, the air quality at the rec center is so poor that I spent several days in the hospital and had to add 2 new asthma medications. Swimming is where I can be myself. I'm here to say that I may just be one person in the community, but to this one person, the new community center with a competitive pool means everything.
Thank you so very much for coming on. Appreciate your comments.
Okay, we're talking comments. Sorry, I was talking to somebody. I want to bring up the issue tonight on the agenda. I think it's at 12F12. In regards to the parking lot, Caracas, stormwater management, stuff like this. I reviewed the minutes, and there's quite a few questions I had in regards to where are we with this thing, what has been done, what hasn't been done. And one of the biggest issues I was asking for, and I asked about meeting back to our, excuse me, the survey. The board voted 5-0, and I gave you the exact wording here, where they thought it was a good idea to run a survey out to the people. Supervisor Weir made a motion for staff to prepare and conduct a survey to collect information regarding residents' preference for various township projects and initiatives. Vice Chairwoman Court amended the motion. Motion carried 5-0. I have yet to see that survey. And this again goes down to the monies that are being spent for the township downtown, because that seems to be the focus right now. And again, they're combining the stormwater with the beautification of downtown, I guess. And my question again goes back to when the fire station was built, because in the immediate references that it was part of the fire station to remove the poles and wires. Why wasn't it done then? Why is it now put on the taxpayers' burden? And secondly, when they increased the tax this past year, it was stated that this was funded in the new budget. So why are we going out for financing if it was funded? What we're doing is financing to pay ourselves back at $100,000. So if you could explain some of the issues regarding that, as far as, not to mention it's supposed to start in the spring. Here we are in June, end of June, it's still not started. Are you going to start a project in the middle of the, quote, attraction of the events downtown? Or is this still open for discussion? I think Susan Court mentioned about they need a consensus on this, and it hasn't been talked about until being brought up tonight to go for funding. So if you could address that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Under the reports, I think we can address that. Is there anyone else for a visitor or public comment? Seeing none, our next item on the agenda is the approval of meeting minutes for the Board of Supervisors meeting for June 13, 2017. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And those minutes are unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is new business. Item A, 1 through 17, the preliminary final land development plan and stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Wastewater Treatment Plant Relocation, plat number 1273. Mr. Williams.
Yes, this plan proposes the relocation of the Hershey Wastewater Treatment Plant to the northwest corner of North Hawkinsville Road and Old West Chocolate Avenue. The plan was submitted under the prior zoning ordinance, which pretreatment sewage facilities would be were permitted by right as a private utility service. Once the proposed facility meets repeatable performance standards of the current facility, the existing plant on North Hawkinsville Road would be intended to be decommissioned and placed back to a natural green area. The applicant reports that this could happen as early as late 2018 or first quarter of 2019. As part of the plan's submittal, the applicant has requested a list of waivers under the subdivision land development ordinance. The most notable are in regards to curbing and sidewalk construction along street frontages of the property. A fee in lieu of curb and sidewalk construction is recommended for the old West Chocolate Avenue frontage, since grades along this area of the property are prohibited due to the location of the existing quarry. It's worth noting that pedestrian sidewalk improvements have been constructed on the south side of the road as part of a separate project with the restaurant and parking improvements to the Curry Mill site. A deferral of curb and sidewalk improvements is recommended for the North Hawkersville Road frontage to allow for future considerations by the township of a north and south pedestrian improvement along that corridor. The Planning Commission reviewed the plans at their meeting on May 2nd and recommended conditional approval of the plans and approval of the applicant's waiver request. Staff recommendation tonight is to conditionally approve the plans and to approve the waiver request with the stipulations noted in our staff report comments. We are recommending approval with the applicant meeting the criteria that we noted in items A through K of our report. Just to name some of them, they include fairly standard comments, including the reimbursement of costs incurred in the review of the plans, providing performance security to ensure completion of required improvements, the fee in lieu for sidewalk construction along Old West Chocolate, the sidewalk deferral agreement for sidewalk construction along North Hawkersville Road, and also addressing the remaining comments of DTMA as noted in their June 8th review letter. Most of the remaining comments from DTMA regarding changes to plan notations that were provided with the plan submittal. However, in our suggested motion section of staff report, you'll note that we acknowledge 1973 agreement that Hershey Company has with DTMA and the township. That note stems from some of the concerns that were expressed by DTMA regarding future operations of the sewage facility. And whether it would ever be converted from a pre-treatment facility to a full treatment facility. We added this note to ensure that any approvals tonight would not release the Hershey Company from their obligations of that agreement, and that they would remain a customer with DTMA until they can have further conversations with DTMA, which we know are current now and are ongoing. The notation also indicates that the facility, if ever converted to a full treatment facility, would require a conditional use application under the 2017 zoning ordinance requirements. So if the board has any questions or concerns or need for clarification for a multi-part suggested motion, I'm happy to answer them as necessary.
Thank you, Brandon. Are there any questions for Brandon or the engineer? Kenny? Any questions at all on this matter? Very good. Hearing none. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next on our agenda is item B, 1 through 20, the sketch plan for Governor Square, plat number 1276. Mr. Williams.
Okay. The submitted sketch plan shows concept development for the property that's located to the southwest corner of Fishburne Road and Governor Road. Proposed is a mixed-use development containing following uses: 15,000 square foot pharmacy building, which contains a second floor of 7,000 square feet that's proposed to house the Hershey Care facilities. 12,950 square feet of additional retail space containing potential for 8 tenant spaces. A convenience store with fuel service containing 12 fueling stations, indoor and outdoor seating areas, and a drive-thru service lane for the food establishment use. It also contains a 6,500 square foot office building. The property is in the Hershey mixed-use zoning district in the Southern Core overlay. Staff, HRG, and Director Netson reviewed the sketch plan and provided comments which were included in the board's packets. Just to go through some of them, we indicate that both the fuel service and the retail uses, since they're bigger than 20,000 square feet, would require conditional use application from the Board of Supervisors. As submitted, they're proposing impervious coverage that exceeds the ordinance allowances, so we made some suggestions for the applicant to reduce impervious coverage, including reducing some of the width of the access drives, including from the public roadways to the property, and also the access drive that is being proposed to the pickup window of the pharmacy. It's also possible that the applicant could consider porous asphalt or paver areas in the parking of the property. Staff is asking that the drive-through window at the convenience store be removed, since the drive-through window to an eating establishment is not permitted in the zoning district that this is located. We're asking that the applicant consider traffic calming measures on the western access drive between Sand Hill Road and Governor Road in order to try to cut down on the traffic that would be going from Sand Hill to Governor Road. The applicant is proposing a combined pedestrian and bicycle path around the street frontage of the property. This path should be minimum width of 8 feet. Crosswalks and other pavement markings should be provided in interior parking areas of the property to provide for defined pedestrian access in the parking areas. And then once the formal land development plan's middle is provided, we expect that kind of approvals for traffic improvements, shared parking studies for the center uses, site lighting, landscaping, and stormwater designs are all topics that will be discussed and finalized under that submittal. The Planning Commission reviewed the sketch plan at the meeting on June 6th. A copy of their minutes has been provided for the board for their review, so we can see their comments. The remaining review comments from staff and consultants were also presented to the applicant during the Planning Commission meeting. Since this is a sketch plan submittal, no action is required tonight by the board. However, if the board has any preliminary comments that they would like to put on record, they should be made tonight so that the applicants can consider prior to their formal plans.
Thank you, Brandon. Any questions from the board members?
I'll just bring in, and maybe it's in the comments from the Planning Commission, but has there ever been any concern? Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Has there been any concern regarding cut-through traffic from Governor to Sand Hill? Has that come up at all?
It was raised at the Planning Commission, and I think there was some discussion. You're talking about this piece of property, or this stretch right there.
Right.
There was some suggestions that we add some stop controls and some pedestrian crosswalks, raised crosswalks to deter speeds going through there. So yes, it was raised, and it's a good comment. We're looking at that as part of the ongoing design.
Seems like it would make sense, too, to be able to connect the Carnes traffic with this project. It seems like it would be a benefit to both pieces as well as the community. Is that not going well?
We agree 100%. We have approached that property owner in order to try to make that arrangement, and to date they have not shown interest. We think it makes all the sense in the world to have an internal connection instead of putting traffic back out on the road, but until they would agree to that, there's nothing really we can do.
And it brings up another comment I wanted to make, and that is just that your team, the owners, and now you're working with John Payne and Jim, you've been incredibly collaborative in this whole process. That's very much appreciated, and that's something that was mentioned early on in one of our first meetings. And you took every effort you could to try to create that cross easement there, and it's a shame to see that's not coming to fruition. There's not much you can do about it. So,
great.
Just a quick comment to thank you for the way that you approach this. It's an important intersection, and we're collaborating on the HOP in front, and it's really going to end up being a good improvement to the traffic flow.
Yeah, and that just reminds me of one point, a good point, that this configuration of the roadway lanes on Governor does reflect what the township is planning on the interim improvements. We're also setting improvements back to accommodate the long-term improvements, an additional lane on Governor. So we have worked with staff on this plan to accommodate those features.
Yeah. We recognize that this is your project, but this is a project for the community too, something that I think is going to be a real asset. So, and to Justin's point, thank you for all the collaboration so far.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Really like the way the building is, it's going to appear really nice from the road. It's not a parking lot right up against the road. So the farm is really going to be an asset to the corner. And it's a convenience store, so people may not like that, some will. But it's the convenience store is actually removed and back behind, and there's an opportunity there for the trees in the parking lot to screen a lot of that.
It provides a very much needed service in that area of the community.
Yeah.
Brandon, could you share the architectural concepts just very quickly? We won't take too much of your time. So these are just a couple of early concepts of what the buildings may look like. This is one of the standalone retail, collateral retail, to the I guess to the south of the pharmacy. If you just tab through this, perhaps. There's a view of what this building is anticipated to look from to look like from the intersection. So we have the benefit of having a frontage that we can display right on the street, and then also have the building face in on the interior with the parking and so forth away from the intersection. I think that has been encouraged by staff and planners as we've moved through this concept. Mm-hmm. Can you just show one more, perhaps? And then that's looking from the parking lot into the main pharmacy building. You can see the additional retail on each side. So just some early concepts just to show what the building is likely to look like in terms of its color and its materials and shape.
I particularly like the walkability of the area with the bike path right there and going around. It's conducive to foot traffic and through traffic. Very well thought out.
Is that pharmacy two stories?
It is, yeah. The center portion is two stories. First story will be the pharmacy itself, and then the second story will be Hershey Care, which is a related business of the Craze.
Any other questions? Very good, thank you.
Thank you very much.
There is no action needed on that agenda item. So next on our agenda is C-1-14, the authorization for the Chairman of the Board of Supervisors to execute a grant agreement for the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program for the new Hershey Volunteer Fire Station. Mr. Nagel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Upon execution, the Council will receive $270,000 to be applied to debt service for Bayport County for this grant.
Very good. I presume there are no questions with that. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization is unanimously approved. Next is D-1-14, authorization for the Board of Supervisors to ratify a grant agreement with the Dauphin County Local Share Municipal Grant Program for the Hershey Dairy Historical Society. Mr. Nagley, same topic.
Yes, on execution, the Historical Society will receive $30,000 of grant money to pay their parking lot.
Very good. I presume there are no questions. Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that authorization is also unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is E-1-8, consideration of the adoption of the Township Official Map and Ordinance Number 689, adding Chapter 126, the Official Map, to the Code of the Township of Derry. Mr. Williams.
The board held the public hearing on the official map on May 9th. At that hearing, four members of the public registered comments. Two of those comments contained requests to change the language in the table of improvements on the transportation map, and those requested changes were made on the version being presented to the board tonight. As a result, we believe that no outstanding comments remain, and staff would recommend approval of the official map and the addition of Chapter 126 providing regulations for the creation and enforcement of the map once it's adopted.
Very good. Are there any questions?
Just had a quick comment, Brandon and Chuck and everybody who worked on this, Chris, just for being so flexible as the community came forward with so many questions and working through that. We really appreciate that.
Yes. Very good. Hearing nothing further, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that official map is officially adopted unanimously. Amen. Next on our agenda is F1-2, initial presentation on authorization for RBC Capital Markets and McNeese Wallace & Nort LLC.
proceed with the financing of the West Caracas Avenue parking lot project. Ms. Umbrough.
Thank you. So this is in relation to our grant-funded parking lot project. Lou is here tonight, so I'm going to turn it over to him. And then just let me know if you would like an update at this time or as part of reports.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Quick update on the plan for financing the Caracas Avenue parking project. I have a short little handout that's going around there. We have reviewed with the administration the financing options for this project. The amount of money that we need is about $550,000. And so the preferred structure is similar to what we did with financing the fire station construction, utilizing a drawdown bank loan. So that's the plan. I have a couple of the details here at the top of page one. Obviously, the purpose of the financing will be to provide funds to purchase the engineering, cover the engineering cost, and construct the new parking lot. The amount would be $550,000, structured with a 10-year principal amortization. I think that's similar to what was provided last year when, in fact, the budget was prepared for this year concerning the reference that Mr. Gamble had. The structure would be drawdown, so if, in fact, some of those costs come in less and we never end up drawing the full amount, again, the same way that we structured the fire station loans, there would be no interest expense on, obviously, the funds that are not utilized. One difference in the fire station loans, we did structure those to be variable rate. That was a couple of years ago when we put those in place, knowing how low interest rates were, and that rates at that time were scheduled to stay low. I think the average cost on the those loans to date is still under 2%. So that's been a good decision. With this, because we are setting a 10-year fixed rate or a fixed payback on this, I think it makes the most sense, knowing that we seem to be in a rising interest rate environment now, that we ask for a fixed rate proposal. A lot of the bank loans that we've been doing recently, the banks are willing to give anywhere between an 8 and a 10-year fixed rate, so I think we'll see something pretty attractive. Again, we've structured into the request for proposal to require the loan to be prepayable at any time. Therefore, if we do have any inflows of cash that we could pay it down sooner, we'd have that flexibility. And because the township has not done any other financing in this calendar year, we would be able to label it bank qualified, which allows us to get it at a slightly lower interest rate. Schedule that we've put together to coincide with the construction schedule that you now have with Eversole Excavating is, with your authorization tonight, we have the RFP already prepared. We're ready to send it out to the banks tomorrow. We do have a pretty quick turnaround. We were asking that they would have their RFPs back to us on July the 7th. That would allow us a couple days to review them, make a recommendation to you then on the 11th, and that's when we would have the actual debt incurring ordinance for you to actually incur this debt on the 11th. And then also in the RFP, we've stipulated that the settlement of the new loan would be on August the 11th. That way, funds would be available at that point in time to pay any construction bills that would be coming in. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about what we have before you.
Are there any questions from the board?
How does it coincide with the final township approval is July 11th, and construction would not begin until after that? Is that accurate?
We did do the board passed the reimbursement resolution to allow us to use funds from the general fund and then reimburse if necessary.
What more do you or update on the schedule?
You might as well.
All right.
So we
should be recording the deed this week. Is that correct, John? Anticipate talking with Matt Bonanno issuing notice to proceed to the contractor either later this week or early next week. From then, it'll probably take about 2 to 3 weeks for the contractor to mobilize, and we'll be working closely with them and neighboring property owners to make sure that everyone is aware of the timeline, putting out notifications to residents, and also I'll be coordinating with Jill to send something out in the e-news as well. Once construction starts, it's anticipated that the lot will be unavailable for about 6 to 8 weeks. Probably 8 weeks, the alley will remain open during that time. with the exception of a small section of work that I think can be turned around pretty quickly in the alley. So,
from a financing perspective, I know we're seeking the credit instrument right now, but from a budgeting perspective, this was planned and budgeted for the 2017 budget prior to this request for an extension of credit. So, Mr. Gamble, to answer your question, we had this budgeted in the fall of last year with the 2017 annual budget. So the servicing of the debt and paying of that is, in fact, in the budget. We're just now taking advantage of that opportunity to get credit, and that's happening now.
And what is the total amount?
$550,000.
Does that include the removal of the poles? Or does that
does not include the poles.
Okay. So it's still $550,000 with the poles standing.
What's the overall project for?
The total project cost that Lou is seeking the funding for is $550,000. Of that, there is a $200,000 grant that will be applied.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a reimbursement grant.
Yep.
Right. And so as a good point, as that money, funds will be expended on construction, as that grant money comes in, we'll be able to pay down the line.
The award has been made, but it's a reimbursement grant.
Right. I mean, it's been approved.
Correct. Yeah, we have, the contract's been executed.
Right.
Yeah.
Are there any additional questions from the board members? Hearing none, is there a motion? Or do we need to act on this? Are we able to act?
We need a motion to proceed.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to proceed.
In 2 weeks, we'll be back with actually approval of the debt. Right now, you're just authorizing the team to go put things together.
I'll make the motion then.
Okay, so a motion by Ms. Court to proceed. I'll offer a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization is unanimously approved.
Just one quick update I wanted to provide since we mentioned the fire station loans. There was some activity there last week. Through the efforts of the fundraising, we had two loans that paid for the construction. There was $1 million loan, and then the second one, there was $4 million. With the funds that were on hand last week, we were able to entirely pay off the first loan. So we worked with First National Bank, received a payoff figure from them on Thursday, and the fire department cut a check that was delivered to the bank on Friday that paid off that first loan. Why that's important, the township had provided a guarantee on both loans. So I had McNeese Wallace contact DCD to remove the township's guarantee and remove that from the debt statement. So at this point, that first loan is now off the township's debt statement. That guarantee is no longer in place, and that first loan has been entirely paid off.
So just out of curiosity, how did the credit agencies get updated then? Do they know about that, or is it the next time that they look at our credit rating they would be able
to? Right, the next time we would go through the rating process where they would see one less line item on your debt statement.
Got it. And would it be factored in with this RFP?
Well, since we don't need to get a credit rating for this because we're not issuing bonds, that's all part of keeping the cost low and utilizing this structure because it's a smaller amount.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks.
Sure.
Very good. Next on our agenda is G1 through 10, consideration of entering into an easement agreement for the authorization and access to construct a portion of the Jonathan National Bicycle and Pedestrian Trail. Mr. Mandia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This easement is located at the main entrance to the Madison at Hershey Heights development on Middletown Road. In the township's continuing efforts to create a safe crossing for the Jonathan Eschenauer Bicycle and Pedestrian Trail across Middletown Road, this easement provides a safe landing and access point on the west side of that corridor. This connection is the final length of trail needed to complete the link from the Stone Creek development to Middletown Road. This access easement has been generously provided by Madison and Hershey Heights Apartment Associates at no cost to the township, and they've been outstanding to work with. I want to note, too, that this this terminating crossing easement at that location will be the eventual landing spot for the crossing of Middletown Road on the other side, coming from Grove Street, when that easement is secured. So this will be the landing spot on the other side of Middletown Road for that. So attached to your agenda item is the notarized and signed agreement from Hershey Heights, the permanent easement agreement exhibit, the legal description, and the temporary construction easement exhibit as well. So at this time, we're asking for the board's consideration to execute that easement agreement.
Very good. Are there any questions?
Matt, what do you mean by the landing area of the crossing road? I'm not following.
So, in other words, when the easement is received from Wabank Associates to continue from Grove Street out across the farm, the 52-acre farm now, and will come in at a 90-degree angle to Hershey Heights driveway. This will be basically across the pedestrian signal. It will be the landing spot. And vice versa will be the takeoff spot coming from Stone Creek.
Okay, that's what I understood. When you said landing next to Grove, I'm picturing the landing. Yeah. Got it. Thanks.
Sure.
Are there any additional questions?
Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Moyer.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is H1, approval of the new GIR fleet fueling system. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The system we use to fuel vehicles at the Public Works facility is the original system that went in when the facility was built 25 years ago. We've encountered a number of difficulties with it over the past couple of years. It runs off of a magstripe card. Those cards are no longer available, and we've encountered a number of other problems with the system. We fuel the fire department fleet, EMS fleet, the school buses, as well as police vehicles in our public works fleet. So in order to keep that up and running, we appropriately advertised, and on June 20th, we opened bids for a new fueling system. One bid was received from CARES Quality Services, LLC. That's the firm that currently tries to maintain the system that we have and has done a good job so far. That bid was in the amount of $22,650, and we're recommending that that bid be approved to CARES Quality Services, LLC.
Very good. Are there any questions for Mr. Clark? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
I'll second it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that approval is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is item I, 1 through 2, authorization to advertise an ordinance amending the code of the township thereby establishing a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit on Clifton Heights Road for the entire length. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We received some complaints from residents along Clifton Heights Road in reference to some unsafe speeds of motorists and how it was affecting the residents along that roadway, as well as some of the children and pedestrians that are along there. If you're familiar with Clifton Heights Road, there are some single residents, as well as some apartment buildings towards the end of the cul-de-sac area. So there is quite a bit of density as far as housing along that one stretch. I would say along that stretch it's probably equivalent to a residential street. Our traffic safety unit took a look, and unfortunately there's no speed limit posted out there, so it's kind of hard to advise people what speed they're supposed to be traveling without having it posted. The traffic safety unit went out, did a traffic safety study, and arrived at a speed limit of 25 miles per hour as the recommended speed limit out there. So we're asking to advertise this ordinance for a 25 mile per hour speed limit the entire stretch of Clifton Heights Road. So we can enforce some speed limits out there and try to slow things down for the residents.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any questions?
So
I'll second it.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that authorization advertising unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is correspondence, board, and committee information. To my left, Mr. Moyer.
Nothing, thank you.
Mr. Weir.
Nothing.
And I have nothing. Ms. Court.
Just a thank you to all the residents who took time to offer emails and some of the supervisors and Matt expressing their interest in a new community center. There were how many dozens of emails we got. I just want to appreciate the residents for taking the time to do that.
Mr. Engel.
Nothing. Thank you.
Very good. Next on the agenda is going to be the department reports. Chief of, or Chief Warner. A Freudian slip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a reminder, we still have the community survey out. There's links through the township's website as well as ours. I believe we're closing down that survey on July 31st, so we'll send out some reminders on that. I think we've already more than doubled the amount of surveys we had the last time we did. So we're doing well on that, but comparative to the residential population, we can use quite a bit more input. We're going to hold another Coffee with a Cop event. Tentatively have it set up for Thursday, July 27th at the Farmers Market. So we're hoping to contact some more people through that event and just kind of talk with our community and have a kind of a little meet and greet and break bread with some of the community members during that.
For clarification, there are now a couple of farmers markets. Which one?
This would be the one at the Cocoa Beery, so we can get the coffee aspect of it.
You just never know.
Ready?
I'm ready.
I would just pass along that at sometime after the 4th of July through the month of July here, we're going to be doing some maintenance treatments, seal coating on roads in Glen Acres. So as I get more definite times and dates from the contractor, we'll have them in the news to go out to residents. It will not be any kind of long-term detour or road closing, but it's still going to affect them in some way.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Clark. Ms. O'Grady, welcome to the microphone and welcome to the meeting.
All I have to report is that we've got the summer readers have read 34,716 minutes so far, so they're chugging along pretty well. And today, this afternoon, we had 91 kids at our afternoon program, so the library is thriving, and I'm very happy to be there, and I'm happy to work with all of you.
Thank you so much. Start with the administration.
I have nothing, thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mandia.
I'm tired of talking.
Are you sure?
I'm good.
All talked out. And before I switch rows, I recognize that the representative from the fire company is not here, but there's a host of members in the back row. Is there any information or comments from the department? Very good. Thank you. Town planner.
Nothing this evening.
Thank you. Mr. Williams.
I have nothing tonight.
Ms. Zumbro.
Couple things. First, just wanted to touch on the survey that Mr. Gamble mentioned. I believe that the survey that Chief Warner and his department are conducting is separate from the survey that you mentioned. I just wanted to note that. And also that my understanding is that survey is really intended to be township-wide, not solely focused on the downtown. And again, anyone feel free to comment on this, but my understanding was that we were based on the status of some current projects, especially the planning for the rec center being one of those, we wanted to get those projects to a point where we really had good information to be able to share with people so that when we're asking questions, they're able to have a better understanding so that they can make informed decisions and provide their opinions. So I don't think it's that it's not intended to happen or being delayed, just not quite ready yet. So.
Well, it's been 5 months.
So that was one item. Just two other quick updates. The on the downtown Hershey side, Music on Chocolate will be July 8th, and we're also bringing back the Towny Family Picnic. That's going to be Wednesday, July 19th from 5:30 to 9 down in the Meadows, again, off of Homestead Road.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Last, not last, but not least. The post one day after birthday, Mrs. Henry.
Thank you. I have nothing to report.
I bet. Mr. Davis, thank you very much. Next on our agenda is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $575,624.18 and payroll in the amount of $353,660.72. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And last but not least, our final visitor and public comment. The podium is open. And I'd be remiss not to mention our former representative is in the house. Mr. Payne, Chief, always good to see you.
Thank you, sir. Just for clarification, I'm referring to the meeting of January 24th when it was approved by carried by 5-0 vote. And I'll read it so you exactly understand. Supervisor Weir made a motion for staff to prepare and conduct a survey to collect information regarding residents' preferences for various townships, projects, and initiatives. I know you talked about the pool and you talked about this, but we're saying into the future also. And that was Vice Chair Court seconding the motion. And the other thing I have in reviewing the minutes from that meeting also, the initial cost, which included removal of the poles, was $540-some thousand. Supervisor Moyer brought up the issue, confirmed that removing the poles would be approximately $150,000. He asked if there was a functional reason for removing the poles. Chairman Foley stated building of the fire company included the removal of the poles. Supervisor Angus said he believes the removal of the poles is more aesthetic for downtown pride. So if the whole thing, which included that discussion, was removing the poles, redoing the parking lot, purchase of the parking lot, was $540, why is it still $540 if we're not removing the poles, which were guesstimated to be $150,000?
Mr. Gamble,
can you explain that?
Yeah, I can explain it. Mr. Gamble, the $200,000 grant is included in that. We had the loan for $550,000, which includes a $200,000 grant. When a $200,000 grant is received, that gets paid out on a drawdown. So we're borrowing $550,000 in case we don't get the $200,000 in time. So we have enough money to do the project, complete the project. Once we get the $200,000, that'll be returned to the general fund and paid down the loan.
My understanding, that grant was for stormwater management, because it says it in the minutes.
The grant is from
the grant that we received. Yeah, and that was on a project, which was a separate project, of the stormwater management. That's why it's commented in the minutes. That's why I was questioning.
The total amount we'll be borrowing is the $550 minus the $200 would be $350,000.
Right, well, that was the question I had. Why were we still paying for the poles if the poles would remain?
We're not paying for the poles.
Okay.
But I think more importantly, it's a public comment. So it's not, yeah. I think if you have questions, I think you can talk to staff independently.
And then make
comments out. Put this back and forth.
I need clarification. That's all I'm asking because the grant money was for the stormwater project, which had nothing to do with the parking lot or the telephone poles, the way it reads in the minutes.
I think if you talk with staff, you'll have a better understanding.
Well, if you review the minutes, I'm happy to talk with you after the meeting if you want to.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Gamble. Mr. Craig.
I will be brief. As you guys have said, it was a very collaborative effort to get where we've got with the project on the corner. And I want to thank the supervisors because I've got a lot of input. You've been very active in it, and it kind of enabled us to get off spinning our wheels in neutral to get this thing going. And so we appreciate that input. And for the bike enthusiasts, I am meeting next week with Jim George. We're going to try to connect with the Med Center and kind of make this very community feel and very pedestrian friendly.
Someday soon we'll stop saying turn at Don's Pier.
Hopefully we're going to say turn at Hershey Farms. So anyway, I thank you for your input.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. And you know, I think you probably are aware we had a meeting some time ago with the PennDOT official that lives in Derrick Township. His first name is Roy, and I can't remember his last name right now. But really pointed out that that link right there is very important, had some good ideas, and so it was really interesting to hear him putting an emphasis on that. So it's important. It's right at the village borders your property, just across the intersection. And we've, ever since I've been a supervisor, I've had so many comments from people about that link between Cherry and Fishburne. So.
Well, hopefully we'll ease the traffic a little bit and also bring some revenue to help pay for, hopefully, a community center.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. Anyone else for visitor and public comment? Seeing none, I entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved and seconded, we are adjourned. Thank you. Have a good night, folks.
This is the part that I make clear to the people who use it.
So at this point, we haven't. The stormwater, the project, parking lot project, is the stormwater.
You know, get that girl so incorporated
by the RBS pay. Is it like Chelsea or?
So when we talk about
Calypso Warley.
What'd you get?
Calypso Warley.
Construction work happening. The contract that was awarded by the shelter does not include the pole. So roughly 400 plus the acquisition of 130, and then there's some additional fees that go into actually securing the debt, and we have a little bit of a buffer in there because the construction is based on a phase bid. So if there are change orders for construction or contract for renting or something, an increase of the cost based on quantities, we want to make sure we're covered. Because there are already costs incurred with engineering. The concept for the project was approved when we were doing the engineering work. And when the grant was applied for, which was back in September of the previous year, so this for the parking lot project, that project spelled out all of these things as part of the construction of the parking lot. The acquisition was added on after the direct center, and some of these other key projects are to a point where we have good information that we can provide.
What are the projects you're talking about? What are you talking about? The rec center?
We have the rec center project. There are other, I don't know what all else the board is working on. I mean, Cheryl
can tell you. Put out a survey of what you're looking at and get your input to see what the people think. Give me a list of the name of the project that you're looking at. You're talking about the rec center. Get it out there so the people can see it. And we can say back to you, well, I think this is a good idea. No, I'm okay with this. This is a good idea.
Good night.
Tell us what you're looking at.
I think we're on the same page. I think that's the overall intent.
Well, get it done. That's what I mean.
We're not to a point where we're able to do that. Once we're to a point where we're able to do that with cost and feasibility, it will happen.
Let's put them on the paper. Send them out.
The projects will be done this year. We're approved in the budget.
Do you think we should pay for this or somebody else? That's all I'm asking.
I understand your position. I appreciate it. It will happen.
Well,
in due time.
When? It's been 5 months.
That because we're continuing to develop the rec center.
All right. That's on the list. What other projects are you referring to? Give me a project.
I mean, there could be other projects downtown.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It could be transportation.
Give me a wish list. All right. Let's get a wish list up. Let's get a wish list up so we know what you think. See, you guys represent us. Okay? So tell us what you're thinking. We're trying to tell you what we think, but you're not asking.
No, I don't think that that's the intent. I think that everyone appreciates that you come to every meeting and make comments. I think the public hearing tonight is a great example of the township really wanting to hear from the people here.
Right.
And the survey is another step to add to that process so it will happen. It's
just
not there yet. And no one's
put out this is what we'd like to do, so that even a 5-year plan, this is what I'd like to do over the next 5 years. Yeah, that's good for the people.
Right, yes.
But right now, you're saying you've got several projects you're talking about. Well, put them out there.
Right, and as we work through priorities here and have a better understanding of what those look like,
and let the people.
Right, yes.
But get them out there so people can see and check. When Sandy started this whole thing about downtown and yours and what you wanted to see in the town, okay? On which put in a month it was out there. What kept her? What? Why could she do it in a month's time?
Because I think the things that were reacting to her needed to be developed.
No, she initiated it. It was her first initial thing she started. And within a month's time, we had a survey, we had a committee together, and they're out there punching that information out.
Well, we'll continue to work on it.
Well, just give me your dream list. Give me the dream sheet.
All right.
And I'll send it out. Okay. I'll put it in a good
word. What'd you say?
I said, did you need anything?
Nope. Yeah, actually did. There was only one gentleman there that really had any questions.
This small group that's so excited about the rec center, they're not going to sleep tonight. Yeah. They're like, how are you?
Good.
That was a good meeting.
Yeah, it was. I wanted to compliment Matt, but I've been, he was too busy.
Yeah.
So
there's still people in there talking to him.
See if
okay.
Wait, you come in, I...
No, I'm gonna make it in and get that stuff done.
Okay, you sure? Okay, I'll be in around 10.
Okay.
I'll see you more.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.